Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Shine Podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Starr. And today I get to introduce you to, or hopefully reintroduce you to, Krista Grosso, who is the go-to strategic planning expert for leading global businesses and online entrepreneurs when they want to simplify and scale using her own lean out method, 90-day lean out planner, and lean business scaling, and the lean business scaling system. And not to forget, she's also the host of Lean Out Your Business podcast, where she shares her top strategies to simplify and scale a business. I truly could talk about her all day long and how fabulous she is. I had so much fun chatting with her and feel so grateful that she is on the show. But instead of me just rambling on, I'm going to let you listen to the conversation we had. So let's jump in. Welcome, Krista, to the Shine Podcast. I'm thrilled to have you here and to chat about one of my favorite and probably your favorite subjects, business.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for our chat today.
Me too. So not just business, of course, but we're going to kind of more dig into leaning out your business, and which you have the lean out method that we're going to talk about and helping businesses with that and lean out. So will you talk about that as well and talk about the podcast that you host, which is also leaning out your business. I love it. Chat about it all.
Absolutely. So leaning out your business, for anyone who's not familiar with the term lean, when it comes to business, it's really about getting super clear on what are those things that add the most value for your clients, the most profit for your business, that feel most in alignment, and getting rid of everything else, because everything else is noise, distractions, things that cause overwhelm, things that cause overwork, things that take us out of what our passion is, what the legacy is that we want to leave. And ultimately, we want a lean business, not in the sense of it being restrictive in any way, but in the sense of it just being those things that matter most so that we can do what fuels us instead of what drains us. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of what I talk about on my podcast, which, as you said, is the Lean Out Your Business podcast. And that's a lot of the work that I do with my clients, which is helping them to lean out. Because while it sounds really simple in theory to, of course, only want to focus on the things that add value and profit, it's not very simple to figure out what those things are, mm-hmm. or to say no to the abundance of ideas and opportunities that we have as entrepreneurs to stay focused, even when we do know what they are.
Absolutely. No, you're totally right. Especially when just starting, I feel like we're wanting to say yes to everything, and everything seems like a great idea and it can only build more. And really by the end, we're drained and tired. And now being an entrepreneur is exhausting all the time, mm-hmm. and it takes over 24/7. So even before really jumping into the method that where you help others and also use for your own business and yourself, I was already on board before I dug into what it was, because as an entrepreneur, it's like you said, easy to look past all of the little and big things we do in business that maybe help us get to a certain point in our business, but then no longer serve us. And it's just like you said, the busy work or things that we could delegate in a different way. So with that said, I'd love to start with that lean out method and the four pillars and how they help business growth. Will you talk about those?
Yeah, absolutely. So lean out method has four core pillars, and I'll tell you what they are, and then I'll give you a little description of each one, because I think this is so important. And the very first pillar is context. This is the thing that I see missed so often, and I'll circle back to what that means. Once we know our context, we want clarity, then we need commitment, and then ultimately Kaizen, which is a lean concept, which means making small continuous improvements and changes for the better. And the reason why I say it's so important, especially to understand our context, is so often we just dive into action, right? We're action takers, we're high achievers. We've got this idea and we just want to go. And that's great. And you can get so far with a certain amount of momentum, but it's really easy to be going in the wrong direction or burning yourself out by trying to do too many things if you're not really clear on where you want to go and why it's important to you. So I think we need to start with defining and understanding what the context is. And I look at that as having clarity on the long-term vision for your business. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you start a business and you know day one exactly what you want for the future 10, 20 years from now. Sometimes you start a business and you're like, I can see maybe next year. And that's fine, but you still need to be looking to the future to say, where do I want to go long term, or where at least do I want to go next? Mm-hmm. Then you want to make sure that you have a business model that actually is going to take you there. because very often I see a disconnect where people want this amazing business and this amazing business that supports this lifestyle that they want. And meanwhile, they build this business model that A, will never generate the revenue that they want, and B, requires them to work 24/7. And so I think you need to know where you want to go, have the right aligned business model, and then get clear in the near term on, okay, great long term, what do I need to be focused on right now?
Mm-hmm.
So that's context. And I think most people miss that and jump right into action.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. I even think like when I started, I wasn't thinking about short term, what should I be doing day by day that actually makes sense to not burn me out and to get to that long term goal. It was just long term goal, throw myself in. So that mm-hmm. I think that's so important to decipher that.
Yeah. And then once you have that, it's clarity around, okay, great. Now I know where I'm going long-term. I know what I'm focused on short-term. What specifically do I need to do? What are my goals? What are the projects I need to do? What are my commitments, the things that I need to do to get where I want to go, the clients I need to serve, the launches or the marketing that I need to do? So that's really the clarity piece of kind of the who does what when for the next 90 days in support of the near-term goals and long-term vision. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's commitment. And commitment is how bad do you want it? And how willing are you to keep going when everything goes wrong, when the beautiful plan that you created, nothing goes according to that plan.
Ever.
Yeah. When the mindset gremlins come up and all of a sudden you start to doubt yourself. And yeah. It, because really, if you're, I think you know this, right? Entrepreneurship is not an easy road. It is as much of a personal development journey as it is a business development journey. It brings up every insecurity you've ever had and amplifies it, brings up every self-doubt you've ever had and amplifies it. And so commitment to me is about, you know where you want to go, you know what's important, you know why you're doing what you're doing, and you are going to keep going and you're going to do the personal work, the mindset work, and commit to doing the things that may not be the thing that you really want to jump out of bed in the morning and do, but that you know is going to be the thing that allows you to make the impact that you want to make.
Yes.
And so that's really commitment, which I think, again, a lot of people want to do it when it's fun, but they don't want to keep doing it when it's not so fun anymore.
No, you're absolutely right. And that brought something up for me. I had to scribble it down. Two things. One is that, you know, you talked about personal growth already. And that's something that as you continue to build your business, when I want to build my business, I go, okay, now it's time to go internal again. And what am I doing to build my business? And the more I've worked on myself, the more that my business grows sustainably. And it's incredible to see that impact, because you would think like, you don't have to work on yourself, you work on your business. And in fact, the more that personal growth is there, the more that you can grow. And that's been incredible. And then the other word that came up was commitment. It feels like grit to me. Like it's that grit through all of the troubling times. So I loved everything you were saying already.
Yeah, I think the one thing that people can misinterpret with commitment sometimes because of so many of the messages that are out there is that commitment means at all costs, sacrifice your health, sacrifice your sleep, sacrifice self-care, sacrifice everything for your business because that's all that matters. And that's the one caveat that I will say is commitment is doing the things that are going to generate results, and doing things that generate results includes taking care of you.
Absolutely.
It includes taking care of you and your self-care and doing not just personal development, but self-development, self-care as well. And so that's just the one caveat that I will give with commitment is be committed, but part of that commitment is doing the things you need to do for you to show up at your best.
Absolutely. I love that. I know for not just myself, for a lot of entrepreneurs, one reason is that we want to build a business is to have that freedom and time to structure our day. And we all like to structure it differently depending on what we love. And a lot of times when we start, we end up not doing any of those things, not taking care of ourselves, working 24/7, believing that's what it takes consistently. Now, of course, we know when you're first starting, there are days where you do have to work a little longer than you want, or maybe you have to get in there and get a little bit dirty. But as you build, we have to pull back. And I've noticed for myself, like, I want to enjoy the sunshine. I live in Florida now. Part of the reason I have a business is so I can enjoy that. So I've structured it in a way that for myself, it's to be in that sunshine, to see friends, but it's not until we work on that and what's important for our growth. Like you said, we need to do those things because they're just as important in building a business. So I completely agree in not taking away from my own personal health just to build a business. So,
Yeah, I learned that one the hard way as well.
Yes. Yeah.
I think many of us do. So if you
Yes.
have not yet learned this the hard way, learn from us and do not learn this the hard way.
Yes, it is okay to not work all of the time. In fact, you shouldn't. Your business should continue to grow even without that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think honestly, one of the ways that you make sure that you're not working all the time is the fourth pillar, which is Kaizen. And this really comes down to, are you reflecting on what's working and what's not working? Do you have measures in place, right? It's really enticing and sometimes scary to ever say no to anything. So it's enticing to say yes to every opportunity and to pursue every idea, because you never know which one's going to be the one that's going to end up giving you all the results that you ever wished for and more, right? And so we go into business in the early days almost with this playing lottery kind of mindset of, I'm just going to try this. I know this is going to be a ton of work. It might not be super aligned, but you never know. This might be the thing that brings me the millions of dollars, right? And so it becomes hard to say no, easy to say yes to every opportunity. Well, the problem with that is if we don't have good measures in place, if we're not tracking what's actually working, if we're not constantly reflecting and looking at, is this in alignment? Is this producing a return on investment? Mm-hmm. Is this something that I find personally fulfilling? Is this something that's going to provide results long-term if it's not going to provide results short-term? If we're not being really intentional with what we're doing, we just keep saying yes and adding and adding and adding, and we don't know what to say no to. So we're too scared to say no to anything and let anything go.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to have a Kaizen culture within your business. You have to constantly be looking at, what are the small improvements that I could be making? What's working and what's not? And what can I lean out and let go of? Mm. And those things are really critical. It's how you stay in alignment with what you really want to be doing. It's how you don't work 24/7 and stick within the capacity that you have. And it's how you get where you want to go a whole heck of a lot faster.
Yeah. I wrote down, and I'm so glad you said the key word, to be intentional about it, because I think that's key. Because I think, well, even if you're not just starting, even if you have a business, you want to be experimenting and maybe try new things and see if you even enjoy it, or see if that's where your ideal client lives. So I totally understand that part, but you're absolutely right to then have something in place to reflect on, is that actually working? Is it bringing me joy? Is it bringing my employees joy? And is it driving any results? So I think that's so important to absolutely experiment with what works, but then reflect back on, is it even worth it or valuable to your time? So that was perfect. Love all the, I'm already taking notes for myself so much. It's wonderful. Love it.
So that's lean out method.
Yes. So I started searching all the wonderful things that you do before we talk today, and the how you give back to businesses. And I came across something on your personal Instagram that I'd like to read, if, with your permission. So it just said this little quote that sometimes figuring out what to do is not, excuse me, sometimes figuring out what not to do is just as valuable as figuring out what to do. And that's exactly what we just already geared in to be saying. And I wanted to touch on that even more, because as we said, as we start growing, we want to add the task or the to-do list and networking and admin and busy work and social media. And it's important to figure out what is actually draining for us. So will you maybe touch on a little bit about your opinion on actionable ways to figure out what's not working and it's just draining?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to go back to something that you said, because you said such an important word, and that is experimentation. Mm-hmm. And business, especially in the early days of business, but really there's no point in time in business where it's not just one big experiment. And I think if we go into it with that mindset, we don't look at every single thing as having to work perfectly and having to be amazing and feeling like a failure if something didn't work the way that we expected it to, or we didn't get the results as quick as we wanted to. It's all one big experiment. And there is a tremendous amount of value in learning what's not working, what's not for you, what's not a good fit. And as you shared in the quote that I had put out there, right? Sometimes those are the best lessons. Most of the biggest successes I have had in my entrepreneurial journey have come on the heels of what you would probably define as a major failure, wow. Right? It's something where I learned a really big lesson the hard way. And then I went on to have a lot of success as a result of that learning. And so I think it's just so important to look at things with an experimentation mindset. And when you couple that with Kaizen and you're actually reflecting and measuring, then it lets you make changes based on what you're learning. So to your question, how do you tell what's working, what's not working? There's a technique that I developed called CHUCK. And I think this is so simple and so valuable to do. I recommend you do this every 30 days, certainly at least every 90 days. And it's to look at everything that you're doing in your business and run it through. Is this something that you can cut, something that should be placed on hold, something you should change, or something you should keep? So the difference between change and keep, it is working exactly the way you want right now. It is perfect. Great. Change is where the magic comes in. Change is, I know this is valuable. I know this is something I should keep doing, but how can I Kaizen this? How can I make small continuous improvements to this and get even better results? How can I optimize what I'm doing? And there's four questions that I always say to kind of look at everything you do through. Is it providing an immediate ROI? Mm-hmm. Is it an investment in the future? So something like networking, you don't usually get an immediate result from relationship building, but you get a really amazing long-term result from relationship building networking, right? Is it something that is fulfillment? And is it fulfilling? And is it in alignment with where you want to take your business long-term? So you run the things that you're doing through those four questions, and you put things in the cut, hold, change, or keep box. And that change box is magic, because when you really look at what you want to keep, you know it's working to some level, but it could be working better. That ends up being where you frequently see really big improvements for really small effort.
You have just been speaking to my heart so much that everything you say, I'm like, yes. Oh, thank you for saying that. It's wonderful. And back to that experiment and experimenting, I think for myself, and I know a lot of other women that I've chatted with, and I'm sure you've seen this, it's difficult, especially at first, to disconnect your personal self from your business. And so when you hear no's or it feels like a failure at first, it almost feels like a personal hit. And once we start to grow and disconnect ourselves from the business, it's easier to experiment and go, oh, it almost becomes a game of, okay, well, how many no's does it take? What's the percentage of no's in this kind of way when I'm networking, or this kind of way when I'm marketing? And it kind of brings more fun to it again, once you can disconnect that it's a personal attack when it's a no. So I love that you already talked about just how experimenting never ends, because there's always going to be something new, some new person, some new business that you can experiment with them as well. So,
Yeah. And one thing I want to add, because this was so helpful to me. So for you listening, I hope this is helpful as well. I started viewing no's as not yets, both no's that I was telling other people and no's was receiving. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this isn't in alignment right now, but one day it might be. Yeah. And so just shifting the no to be more of a not yet helps with the experimentation mindset. If you're still in that place where you very closely couple your worth, your value, your everything with your business, which I will say something that you're probably going to be like, really? You kind of never don't do that.
No, you're
you
right.
Do it less, yes, but yeah. You don't
it hurts
ever
a little
not
less.
Do that.
Yes, yeah. You're right. Oh, you're absolutely right about that. It just starts to hurt less, and you can just learn through it rather it going and stopping you from continuing, I guess. But you're right. Mm-hmm. It's always,
unfortunately,
I am Shauna, I am a photographer. Like, that's it. Yeah. So kind of with that, I'd love to ask what you think then are some biggest areas of waste that drain time and profit in a business. What are some things that you're like, these are easy ones to X?
How many hours do we have to talk? Yeah. No, so I'm gonna hit a few of them. So there's a total of 10 areas that I've identified that I see really commonly across businesses. But one of the very first ones, probably no surprise, is unnecessary complexity. We are masters at making things more complex than we need to. We are masters at adding steps instead of removing them. And I think that anytime you have added complexity, there's more room for error. There's more time, effort, money sometimes that's involved in actually doing or delivering something. And so as much as possible, we do want to keep things really simple. We want to simplify things. We want to systematize things where we can. And we want to try to avoid a lot of that complexity that comes up, because complexity just happens. It just multiplies if you're not really intentional and really careful and intentionally leaning things out and simplifying. Mm-hmm. So that's the first one. The other one that I see so much is if you think about the time that you have, your time is arguably one of your most precious assets. You want to make sure that the things you are investing time in, you are actually getting results from. And you do not get results from things that you do not finish. And entrepreneurs are famous for having incomplete work because we're idea generating machines. Yes. And we love new ideas. We love coming up with ideas. Yeah. We love strategizing on those ideas. We don't always love the actual action to implement or maintain those ideas. And so we can invest a ton of time, money, and energy into things. And before we ever see the real traction results from it, we switch gears and go chase the next new idea. And that can be really frustrating, draining, expensive, all of the things. So I think we just need to be really discerning with what we commit to. And we need to see through the things that we're committing to, unless we reach that point in time that Chuck says it goes in the cut or hold category, not because we have a bright, shiny new idea that we want to go chase instead.
Very fair. Yep. I've been known to do that all the time. I get sick of the execution and I just want the idea done. I totally get that.
Don't we all? I do this for a living and I fight myself on this all the time.
It's good to know. We all know it, that every business owner deals with these things, but it's always nice to connect and talk to another business owner and go, oh, good. I'm not the only one that still these things go through our mind and how we work. Love it.
Absolutely. And then the last one that I'll share is what I call fragmentation. Mm-hmm. And so what this means, especially in the early days where you're taking ideas and strategies from a lot of different people and kind of trying to stitch things together. And in the end, I always like to think of business as a puzzle, and your vision is the picture on the puzzle, right? And your business model and the way that you operate are the corners. All the different strategies and the things that you're choosing to do, the actions that you're taking, they're making up the individual pieces. Well, you want to make sure that the pieces actually fit together. And more often than not, we've piecemealed and hodgepodged and duct taped together all of these different things without a real cohesive strategy around it. Mm-hmm. And nothing ever ends up working really well. So we just end up jumping to the next strategy. Oh, Threads is out. Maybe Threads will be the answer to all my issues. I'm going to go do that now without ever really looking at, well, really it's your whole end-to-end marketing strategy that you need to be looking at, making sure is really cohesive. And Threads might be a great tool for it. Well, something you're already using might be a great tool for it, but it's more the overarching strategy that needs to be looked at and reimagined as opposed to the specific tactic or tool. Absolutely. And so that's something that I see quite often is we get very caught up in the activities and the things, and it creates a lot of fragmentation, which actually keeps us from the results that we want or working way more than we need to.
Mm-hmm. So then why do you think your business should be lean, luxe, and leveraged when you want to scale sustainably?
So here's a fun fact about scaling. Because everybody, scaling is the new buzzword. All everyone talks about is scaling. And I'm like, okay, finally, people get that we should be scaling, but yes, you're using the word wrong. But that being said, right, the thing that's really important to know about scaling is an amplifier. Scaling amplifies what you have. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what people try to do when they try to scale is they think scaling is going to solve all their problems. But all scaling does is amplify what you have. So if things are really complex, you're going to have more complexity. If you're working way too much, you're going to be working more. Right. All, if you're not as profitable as you want, well, you might bring in more revenue. Great. But your profit margin is not going up. Yep. And so you want to make sure that things are lean and simple first. You want to make sure that you're scaling what's working and what you want to amplify and what you want more of. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. You're not trying to scale everything. You want to lean out and scale what makes sense. And then luxe is really all about value. It's about providing an exceptional and memorable client experience. So those people want to continue working with you. They want to tell everyone about you. You are memorable beyond just whatever it is that they bought from you. Mm-hmm. And I think that luxe becomes so important because that's how you scale. You scale without having to go out and do all of these paid ads and all these things and all this stuff, and your business can grow more organically because you provided such a luxe experience for somebody that they cannot wait to tell other people about you. Right. And then leveraged, obviously, is any time that you're putting into your business, you want to make sure you're getting the most leverage out of it. You want to make sure that if that hour that you invested, you got the absolute biggest return and value that you possibly could have from it. Mm-hmm. And so I think each of those goes into being able to scale a business in a sustainable way without scaling all the noise, all the complexities, all the overwork, all the overwhelm, and so many of the things that I see people doing when they don't focus on lean, luxe, and leverage first. Mm-hmm.
Something I immediately wrote down, and I mean this in a good way, is I wrote not fun, because some of those things that we think, oh, I can wait to purchase this software when I have more clients, when I have more money, when I have more this. And really, it's those simple things that are going to make our business luxe and lean that is going to help us in the future. Because I purchased the software that takes care of X, Y, and Z, I can get back to my clients, see what my clients are doing, send the invoices. Everything is clean and simple, because I had to invest in that first. And now it's made my life so much easier. Same thing goes with, this is very specific, but I think of emails. And most of us who have businesses end up writing the same email over and over and over again. And a way to do that is to first line up, have these email templates that are already written out so that in the future we can personalize them and send them out in a much quicker and easier way. And just like little things like that is what popped up to me. It's just to make it more, it's easier in the future, and things you can teach your employees when you have them in the future as well. But it's sometimes the stuff that we deem is not fun because it's not the new electronic or the new prop or, you know, whatever that looks like. But it's the things that'll help us be sustainable and clean and luxe, like you said, to have that experience.
Completely. Scaling is not what people think it is. Scaling is not about doing more. Mm-hmm. It's not about the fun, sexy, shiny new thing that you want to chase. Scaling is about simplifying things. It's about operational efficiency. It's about systems. It's about team. It's about managing team. Scaling is about all of the things that most early stage entrepreneurs are like, I don't want any of that. Yes. But you eventually hit a point where you realize, okay, I am officially working harder, not smarter. Mm-hmm. I need to find a better way, and things shift over time. So mm-hmm. if you're still newer in business, scale, even though everyone uses the word all the time, the true meaning of scale, don't even think about that yet. Think first about getting your product market fit in place, and then think about growing something and growing in a scalable way. But you want to be worrying about scaling when you're at a time where systems and team are the things that you know that you need to do and can't wait to do, not because it's fun and sexy, but because you know it's going to give you your life back.
Yes. Yes. I listened to, I don't know where it was at. It was some podcast somewhere where they're talking about how you can give back time, how you can multiply your time. And of course I knew the answer, but I wanted to hear it, right? Which is always to have automated systems in place. And that is actually going to give back your time. It takes more time at first, but over months and years, it's going to help you tremendously to grow. So you don't have to be there for every second of every day for everything that comes in. So I completely agree. I loved that. So then next, my question is, how can a team, or if they don't have a team yet, just a solo entrepreneur, achieve more by doing less, leaning out and getting back time per week?
Yeah. So if we rewind back to the first pillar of Lean Out Method in context, I talked about vision. Mm-hmm. So the number one piece of advice that I typically give entrepreneurs, especially if they either feel like they're overworking or they have a change in life circumstances, a change in something where their schedule needs to shift. Maybe they just simply want to be able to take some time and enjoy the summer, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, there's a change and they want to be working less, is take a look and make sure that the things you're doing are the things that are in alignment with the long-term vision that you have and the near-term goals that you set. If you don't have those in place yet, it is time to either put them in place or refresh what you have, and then look really discerningly, really carefully at where you're investing your time in what you're doing. Because what I find more so than anything else is people are like, oh, I have a vision, I've got goals, I'm good. And then they have all the stuff that they're doing, and there is no bridge between the two. There is no connection. The vision and goals live over on one world. The activities live over in another. One will never lead to the other. And when that happens, you tend to do way more than you need to. Mm. And so getting back time sometimes is just simply moving things from the keep column to the hold column in the chuck that I mentioned earlier. And that right there can give you back 10 hours per week. Absolutely. Certainly leveraging team, making sure that you have people around you who can do those things that are outside of your zone of genius or that somebody else other than you could do. Certainly starting with more of like a VA or something, if you don't yet have one, is a great place to start. And there is never a point in time that's too early to systematize or automate something that can easily be systematized and automated in your business. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that you should do it for the sake of doing it. Until you know you want to repeat something, there's no point in documenting it. No, it's going to get thrown out 5 minutes later. But if there's something you do manually on repeat that doesn't need to be done manually, well, then don't do it manually. Right. Invest the time to automate it, as you shared in your example.
Yes. Oh, that just... it's so hard to, you know, at first as businesses to grow, to really realize like we don't need to be doing every task all the time over and over again. And it's hard to get into your head like, no, I need to be there. And honestly, I know for myself, for the first time when I started to have a system in place where I would get these tasks done per day, I almost had a sense of guilt like, well, now I have time in the day. I could do more work. And that's always an opportunity to do that. But I also am doing the things that I want to get done a lot sooner because I have like strategies in place to do those things. So it was almost like this sense of guilt of I'm getting it done and I have time. What am I doing wrong? You know, that's
exactly. And I think that's such a fun place to be because you get to decide, are you going to take that time and put it toward yourself? Maybe self-care, mm-hmm. family time, personal, like things that you do for fun. Or can you just take that time and reinvest it in profit producing activities and actually grow your business faster, right? It's you get to choose, or you can do what I typically do and just cut it in the middle. And it's right. Like, I'm going to take a couple hours for myself and then I'm going to go do this thing that I know I really should be doing in the business, right? Yes. And so it gives you that freedom of choice, which is really nice and something mm-hmm. that I think that's one of those pivotal points that you hit in your business. You start off having, and I'm saying having in air quotes for those of you who can't see me, to do all of these things and feeling this immense pressure to all of a sudden having the freedom of choice in where you invest your time. Absolutely. And it is such an incredible and freeing point in time.
It is. It absolutely is. And then it leaves more time for, back to the word scaling, to actually scale, because now you've put those systems in place to allow some more growth as well. So it's an interesting place to be, but it's been wonderful. What is lean strategic planning, and why could it help entrepreneurs maybe better than traditional planning?
Yeah, absolutely. So strategic planning can get a little bit of a bad rap, especially for any of you who maybe have spent some time in corporate and you're used to the strategic planning cycles where you would spend days creating this painful plan that you knew was a waste of time because nobody was ever going to follow it anyway, or it was never realistic, right? And so sometimes people avoid planning because they think it's going to take too much time. It's unrealistic. It's going to be super restrictive. They're going to be locked into something and they're not going to be able to explore ideas or opportunities that come up. And the reality is, if you want to actually achieve your goals, the best way to get there is planning. I consider lean strategic planning, I call it your bridge between possibility and probability, because I think it is really important. Without a plan, you are highly unlikely to get where you want to go in the most streamlined, direct way. And will everything always go according to plan? No. Does that mean you shouldn't plan? No. That means you absolutely should have a plan, but you should have a plan that's lean, that's agile, that's adaptive. Mm-hmm. And most of the strategic planning frameworks that are out there fall in one of two camps. They're more of a personal productivity practice that's designed for an individual, not necessarily a business owner, or especially a business owner that works with other team members, even if it's people that you're contracting with. Or it's this really big, robust, complex, very prescriptive planning system that kind of locks you into something that doesn't fit a more dynamic small business where things change all the time. And so I ended up, I developed a framework called Lean Strategic Planning, which is a blend of both. It gives you enough structure so you know where you're going, you know what's important, you know the priorities, And it gives you enough flexibility to be able to adapt and experiment so that you're not locked into one and only one way to achieve the result that you want. You can try different things to try to get to those results. And so to me, lean strategic planning, the word lean again, it's high value, low waste, right? What's the most valuable, simple thing that we can do to create a plan that does not include any wasted time and does not have any extra complexity? Mm-hmm. And so that's what it is. And I think that especially for a newer business owner or one that's finally starting to get into the stage of growth and then scale, that's what you need. You don't need personal productivity. Like, yes, personal productivity is important, but you need more than personal productivity, but you do not need the big complex planning systems. Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to ask one more business question of simple habits that you personally love to implement or take away that help focus on businesses during the day. Like for me, I know I have maybe my calendar of 5 tasks a day and I know what I need to complete short term, and having my workout, healthy meals ready, intentionally having time with people, like whatever that looks like to keep me accountable on taking those breaks and time away from my computer. Are there some things that you love to implement or take away?
Of course. I start my morning, every morning I get up and I journal. I find that when I don't journal, I have a less productive day. It just lets me get all the noise in my head down on paper so I can focus. So I start with a journal. I drink a whole bunch of water. I do a little bit of Pilates. I do a little bit of movement first thing in the morning. But then when I start my day, I always give myself a nice movement break midday because I feel like I need it. And the way I end my day, I think is the magic. This is what I do at the end of every single day. And I have a block where I go back through every single note that I took, whether it was digital or in my notebook, and I make sure that I've finished everything or I've added anything I committed to do to my backlog so there's nothing missed. Mm. Because what I find is the thing that used to keep me from turning my brain off at the end of a day is thinking about, oh, I told Jen I would send this thing and I have to remember I need to send it to her. Wait, did I say I was gonna, it's tomorrow I'm gonna do. And so it's the close down at the end of the day where I fully wrap up the day. I mark anything I did as complete. I get clear on what I need to do the next day. And I take anything from my notes, any commitments I made, and I make sure that they are reflected and prioritized accordingly. That lets me finish with a sense of completion. I can turn my brain off and focus on my own personal stuff. And it sets me up for success the next day.
I love all that, but I want to go back to the journaling because I know so many people journal or they get stuck on journaling or how to, or questions they should be asking themselves or how they do it. Is there a way that you love to journal that helps you get through that and prepare for the day?
Yeah. So I literally, like, if you read my journal, it is the most ridiculous thing ever. I start with putting the date on the top and I'm like, okay, I'm writing today because I promised myself I would journal every day, but I honestly have no idea what I should be writing about. So it's like, I'm writing in my journal what I'm thinking in my brain. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. But if I challenge myself to keep writing, all of a sudden things come up. Mm-hmm. And if I can't think of anything, I try to think about how I felt yesterday. And so it's like, I just have like a couple prompts that I will use mm-hmm. because it's more the act of getting the things in your head that sometimes aren't even top of mind, but they're the things that are the hamster on the wheel, like going behind the scenes that are going to steal your focus throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And so I think you just have to force yourself to just put pen to paper, or in my case, pen to Remarkable, and just write. And even if you do something as silly as I do, which is literally right, I have no idea what to say today. And eventually, if you just keep going, it comes out.
Yes. Oh, I totally agree that there's always like this, not always, there is often an underlying distraction that we're not even aware is distracting us. So just getting your random thoughts out on paper soon goes through those layers and gets to the distraction or the block or whatever is going on. And I love that you said that. That's absolutely perfect. So now go for it.
I was going to say, one of the things that I found is sometimes at night, my brain will spin. Mm. And the few times that happens, I've learned to just go sit and journal for a few minutes and just get it down on paper. And I end up sleeping 1,000 times better. And I can again, reset my brain and just try to enjoy the moment I'm in instead of thinking about things. Mm. So journaling has been kind of transformational for me. It's something I avoided for a really long time. I thought it was just kind of silly. Honestly, like it was kind of a waste of time. I'm doing productive productive things over here. I don't have time to journal, right? silly me. If you have not journaled, or if you've had that opinion about it, like I have in the past, highly encourage you to revisit, because it really does just clear your head so you can stay focused and present, whether you're working and you want to be present on work, or not working and present with family, friends, whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. Something for me, this kind of goes off of that, is if I'm on a walk or I'm at the store or something, I also have a business note in my phone that if I'm walking and I have an idea, like our brains aren't meant to hold on to every idea and thought. We just don't have that capacity. So I found for myself that I'll be like, oh my gosh, if I just get it out of my brain, I can focus on the thing that I need to. So that's how it kind of feels for journaling too. But you know, when you're out and about and you have this idea, you're like, oh good, I can scribble it down. I can look at it later and address it, but now I can focus and get it out of my brain. So I love that that's how you sometimes journal as well. So is there anything maybe on your heart lately? I would love to hear something that's maybe come up for you lately often that you'd like to share with us today.
Yeah. So we're in a really interesting time in the entrepreneurial landscape. There's a lot of change. Things that were working weren't working, and everyone seems to have an opinion. And I just hear over and over again, I listen to podcasts, and this weekend I was listening and everything was, you should this, and you should this, and you should this, from how you should look to how you should show up to how you should, you know, do something or be. And just the one thing that's really top of mind for me is, this is your business. You get to make the decisions. You have choice in what you do, how you do it, who you work with, what you charge, what you say yes to, what you say no to. Do not do anything out of should or must. Do things that feel aligned with the vision that you have, with the impact you want to make, with the legacy you want to leave, with whatever that longer term or even near term goal is that you have. That's the lens that I think all business decisions should be made through. And A, don't listen to anyone who tells you that you have to do something a certain way or show up a certain way. You don't. And really question anybody who tells you that you do, because they're probably trying to sell you a solution that they just so happen to provide to that thing that you must do, because it's the only way you will ever be successful. So just really give yourself the space to reflect on what you want and to make decisions from that place, instead of getting caught up in the, yeah, but I have to do this. And this is what, I don't care how successful someone is or what worked for them. It does not mean it is the right fit for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that came up for me is, I think, of course, I follow podcasters and mentors who are much more successful monetarily than me, or have more followers or whatever that looks like. Of course, I always want to be learning. But what I have found for me personally is that a lot of the people who give me their opinion are ones who aren't where I am. And it's always interesting. It's like, I value and appreciate you, but they're not going where I want to go. They don't have a business. And it's always so interesting to me that the people giving our opinions aren't on the same road or path that you're on. And so I love that you said that you do not have to be doing everything, and especially those who aren't even on that journey. So, Now, one more thing is, I read that you love to read. So I would love to know, is there anything that you are reading lately that you love and want to share, or a great book in the past that you want to be like, go get it?
All right. So I love to read. And because I read so much, I very rarely read something twice, but I have a book that I actually read twice a year, every single year.
Okay.
And so if you have not yet read The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, highly, highly encourage you to. You've probably heard people talking about Zone of Genius.
Yes.
That comes from The Big Leap.
Okay.
And it really helps you understand what your genius work is and what work isn't your genius work, which is the work that you do want to systematize, automate, delete, or delegate. So I love the book. And what I like about it is, I think as you grow as a business owner, you read things and take different things away. So even though the words are exactly the same, I feel like I read exactly what I need to at that time, every time I go back to the book. Good. So that is one that I highly, highly encourage. And if you've already read The Big Leap, maybe read it again. Or my second one that I will say is really great is The Gap in the Gain, which really is just about being gain-based thinkers as opposed to gap-based thinkers. And what I found so enlightening about that is, I find a lot of entrepreneurs are naturally gain-based thinkers or challenge themselves to be, but a lot of times our clients are not. And recognizing the difference and being able to see patterns when people aren't can be so helpful as you're working with clients. So it's a great kind of like self discovery book, but it's more learning to recognize patterns and others around you that helps you respond to situations really well, which I just found fascinating.
That is. And yes, I have heard, you know, working in your zone of genius so many times, but I never knew where it came from. So I wrote that down for myself too. Thank you for that. Now, I know you have one thing to kind of give away or to offer to everyone listening. There's a little freebie. And then I want to hear how we can all follow, stalk you, and see all the things that you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to dive a little deeper into my philosophies, some of what we've talked about in the episode today, and specifically how you can achieve more by doing less, I actually have a guide. It's on my website. It's leanoutmethod.com/do-less, all one word. And if you just go out and get that, it's going to walk you through a little bit more about lean strategic planning, Chuck, all of the different things that we talked about today with some examples, and it just goes a little bit deeper into things. And from there, you can find me on leanoutmethod.com and my podcast is leanoutpodcast.com. I'd love to have you pop over and listen if you liked what we talked about today.
Absolutely. It's been so much fun chatting with you. I'm so glad we were able to do this. And I wish that everyone could see your expressions because I'm over here smiling at you because you have all these expressions and your eyebrows moving and it's wonderful. You're just beautiful as you speak about things that you love. So thank you so much. And everyone go follow her so you can see all those expressions too. So thank you again, Krista. I appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me.
There is a product that I want to share with you. It is a productivity shot, and I have been so excited about it. I started taking it a couple months ago. I asked if y'all take it, and I wanted your opinion. Well, for myself, I know with my hormone struggles I've had for the past couple years, me feeling like I'm always in a brain fog, I don't have energy, and honestly, I just didn't feel up to par with where I should be. And I started using these green shots every single morning before I start to sit at my computer or go to a shoot. And I have felt so much better. First of all, if you have not researched ashwagandha or matcha and what they can do for your body and you, I highly recommend that you do it. Ashwagandha is something that I had been researching for months and months. So when this product came up and it had it in there so that I could feel better and feel more productive, I had to give it a try. After taking these little shots daily and using them consistently, I can honestly tell you that I've really truly felt more productive, less brain fog, and just more like my energetic self again, which is huge if you've known for the past 2 years my hormones have been down the drain. And now that I've basically fallen in love with it, the Magic Mind team has created a great offer for me to share with you, which you can get 56% off your first subscription in the next 10 days after this episode has launched, or a one-time purchase of 20% off with my code SHINE20. You can go to the link magicmind.com/shine to get yours today, up to 56% off, but only until 10 days after this episode airs. So go right now and get yours.